Before you sit down, let's take the last hymn from our paper. Nothing between my soul and my Savior, not of this world's delusive dream, I have renounced all sinful pleasure. Jesus is mine, there's nothing between. Nothing between thy worldly pleasure, habits of life, though harmless they seem, must not my heart from him ever sever. He is my all, and there's nothing between. Our hymn sheet does not have the chorus. The chorus has been omitted here, so don't omit it. Shall we go ahead now? Between. No. my God, we stand before you this night and we say whatever is going on, we will let nothing stand between us and you. We will not allow worldly pleasure, habits of life, even though they appear harmless, anything that can block the least of your favor, we resolve tonight, we will not let anything between us and you. Money will not come between us and you. Friends will not come between us and you. Our business will not come between us and you. Brother Paul said, what will separate me from the love of Christ? Will tribulation, will peril, will famine, with hunger, with height or low or death or what? He said, we are resolved and persuaded that nothing will separate me from the love of Christ. Lord, we ask that we will also resolve as we leave this meeting today, that nothing will come between us and you. Whatever is happening in our country, whatever is happening in our land, whatever is happening all around us, whatever is happening in the world system, we resolve tonight. Nothing will come between us and you. Nothing will separate us from your love. Nothing will put us at loggerhead with you. We decide tonight to cleave unto you. We decide tonight to cling unto you, to take you by your word, to remain faithful unto the end. In the name of Jesus Christ. Holy Spirit, we ask that your word will come to us again. We ask that light will shine upon our heart tonight. We ask, Lord, that you will release unto us the spirit of grace, the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of revelation, all that will cause us to walk well, to rise well, to move in the power of the Holy Ghost. Let it come upon us. Let it come upon our elders. Let it come upon our young people, on our women, our mothers, our young ladies. Let your power come. Holy Spirit, do a work in our midst so that you prepare us for the appointed time. Thank you, Father. In Jesus Christ's name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. The Lord bless you. Once more, we want to thank God for the privilege that God had given to us to come. And this being the last night in which we shall be studying the Word of God that we started looking at, you already can understand that even if we sit here for the whole week and we are studying every day, the book of Habakkuk will continue to speak and speak deep and depth in our hearts. But because of the time space we have to find a space to draw it to a bit of conclusion, trusting that God will take you further as you study and as you walk with Him. In the first session, we were looking at the cry for personal revival, the cry that Habakkuk faced, and he began to cry to God. When we came for the second session, we were looking at God's answer, God's promise, the promise of a divine intervention, the promise of a coming revival. We saw that when God speaks, He watches over His word to bring it to pass. But yesterday, we came now to look at a very critical, stark reality that, yes, the vision is for an appointed time. The vision is yet for an appointed time. But meanwhile, the just shall live by his faith. I spent a bit of time looking at the conflict of the present time, the contradiction of the present time, the difficulty of hearing a word of promise, and you know that God cannot fail. You know that God will honor his word no matter what happens. And yet, the space in between the promise and the fulfillment of it, that space, that challenging space, that space where you are crying, does God answer prayer? That space when there are questions, many, many questions that people are asking. Within that space, many things happen. I began to speak about what that space offers, what challenges, what are the temptations that it comes with. That space that offers backsliding, offers complacency. Many people turn back. Some people's faith have been injured and scattered. Some people's life have been destroyed within this kind of space. Some lost their marriages because of this kind of space. They were waiting and waiting and nothing was happening. Within that space, those that used to be fervent, they grew cold. In fact, the Bible said, if God will not cut short, even the elect, they shall be deceived. It is within that space that false doctrines, false preachers began to arise. It is because of that space that you now have all kinds of preachers who are saying whatever they like to say just to enrich themselves. They are in the ministry just to make a good living out of it. And you will find that all over the place is because of that space. That space, young girls that had great future, they sold themselves out for a piece of bread. And they are biting their tongues. And it's like they have lost it altogether. Within that space, great preachers, they became soothsayers. Within that space of time, many, many terrible things have happened. And unfortunately, some people have died. Within that space, even though there are a few persons that decided to stand for the truth, they became a ridicule in the community. If you are preaching the truth, people will laugh at you. If you are standing for the word of God, people look at you as an old-fashioned and that you are not meeting the need. All new devices have been brought, new doctrines, and the Bible, the living word of God, has been put aside, and people are looking for philosophies, ideas. Within this space, science and technology has advanced, and they are not particularly possibly posed towards the purpose of God. Everything is going on all over the world as if the name of our God will one of these days be canceled. New gods have arisen, and one of it is humanism. You see it all over the world. They are talking about human rights. They are talking about gay rights. They are talking about all kinds, transgender, new marriages. You know, sometimes I cry. Very great churches that were started in revival, they have embraced gay marriages. There are congregations where I had gone to preach before, and we have been speaking about the truth of the word of God. And I will go back, they say, Sir Bragbile, we have voted. I say, what did you vote for? Then we have voted to allow same-sex marriage on our pulpit and in our midst because we want to be all-inclusive. I say, you voted for unrighteousness. And you voted for wickedness. And they try to find every way to justify it. They speak as if they love men than God loves them. Now, all of these, they are the things that happen within this space. And I'm telling you that it's so real. And if God will not do something, it will look as if we have lost control. Apart from all the wickedness that we have read in this passage, those that build their houses upon bloodshed, those that have established their kingdom, and they are in government, not because they are properly elected, and many heads rolled so that they can climb up, and blood was flowing everywhere so that they can sit. They are sitting on a throne that is built upon the blood of men. And it looks as if there's nothing you can do about it. And you are wondering, is God in heaven? Will God do something about it? But all of that, I said that was money. And God says, stop money. Stop money for Saul. So what is the positive thing that God is doing in between this space? And what the devil is doing, we describe it so much. What the world systems are doing, we describe it so much. What academics have gone into, we described it. And all that we have said. But what is God doing? And what is God doing with his people? And so this night, I will be looking at God preparing us for the appointed time. God preparing his appointed people for the appointed time. God preparing his appointed people for what? The appointed time. One of the things that I'm begging God, and I really have been praying about it. I've been praying seriously about it. There are several things that God has done in the past few years in my eyes and in my understanding. And I knew that it was God that was bringing certain things to happen. But my cry was, how will the church not waste it? How are we not going to waste these challenges that God intended to bring something new into his people? When COVID struck, and all of you knew that we have never had anything like COVID before, that shut up the whole world. Businesses that has never had a break since they started broke down. Very busy airports that day and night, 24 hours, they are busy. You go there, you just find that thousands, in fact, millions of people are just milling. People are going here, they are going there. Oh, do you know that when COVID came, it was shut down. Businesses collapsed. Something changed. And several people were beginning to say, maybe the end of the world has come. But we knew that it was not the end of the world that has just come. It was an alarm. It was a warning. And it was a warning which God was planning that the church of Jesus will wake up with. I prayed and begged God, don't let it be the politician that will make a gain out of COVID. Don't let it be the world system that will spring up and quickly make a gain out of this pandemic that you have allowed to come our way. I thank God that for a while, something happened within the church. But you know, suddenly we have overcome COVID. And we have put it behind. And we are trying to forget. And we are trying to tell ourselves that it's okay. Even though God said, you know, I can shut down the whole world in 1 minute. And that when I will do it, I'll give you no notice. And when it will happen, it will be global. It will happen simultaneously at all times. And it was like a wake-up call for the body of Christ. But as I'm watching, I'm crying, Lord, don't allow that which you have allowed to come our way to be a waste. So the question I'm dealing with this night, what does God want to do in between the vision that he has announced and the appointed time? And I said, it is God preparing the appointed people for the appointed time. And so I will try. That's a very large issue I'm raising tonight. I will try to see if I can just deal with it very simply, committing the rest to God, that God will take you up one by one, and that God will focus on you as an individual, preparing you for the appointed time. So let's read Habakkuk chapter 2 again. Habakkuk 2, you know, I was studying Habakkuk 2 yesterday with you, and we did verse 2, verse 3, and verse 4. And I said, everything else from verse 5 to verse 20, it was just the announcement of what God is going to do at the appointed time. Are you understanding? And I thought that if I have time, I would have loved to keep describing it and discussing what God is going to do to the wicked, what God is going to do to this, what God is going to do to that, and I know it will come to pass. But that, to me, is what God will do. When? When? At the appointed time. So there's no need to actually worry about the appointed time. What am I to be concerned about now? What is the preparation of the appointed people for the appointed time? So that when the appointed time comes, the appointed people are not ill-prepared. Oh my God, are you hearing me? What must God do to the appointed people, the appointed men and women, so that when the appointed time comes, and it will come like the twinkling of an eye, it will come suddenly, it will take everybody by surprise, it will take politicians by surprise. Please get me clear. Politicians will be surprised in Nigeria. Because God is going to do a work. Say, I will do a work in your day. That when anybody even tell you, your ears will do what? We think, you say, you will see people, they will shiver. Big men will shiver. High court judges will shiver. Men will shiver and say, it has fallen out of our hand. Yes, it will. It will. And it will happen just like that, suddenly, at the appointed time. But you see, that's not the key issue for us. What God will do, he will do it. But what is the preparation of the appointed people for the appointed time, so that when the time comes, are you hearing me? The appointed people are ready, sufficiently prepared for the appointed time. That, to me, is the business that we have to focus now. That, if you want to pray, that's a prayer. If you want to labor for revival, that's what to do. Preparing the appointed people for the appointed time. Hallelujah. And there are a few things that the Word of God did not hide about what he wants to accomplish in preparing us. Honestly speaking, if all of you will be very faithful to me tonight, do you think we have enough prepared Christians who believe in righteousness for politics? Be honest. Be honest. Don't be sentimental. Tell me the truth. Do you think we have men who have been sufficiently prepared to take over and it will be for God? When our men came on power, what did they do? Or you don't want us to tell the truth? Eh? They were there for years. Years. One among us was Senate president for years. What did they do? He said, we don't want to talk. What is the reason? When our other president was there, I know the chaplain. The chaplain was taken from a big seminary. What an opportunity that you wake up 6 a.m. every day to pray with president and to give him instruction and say, sir, this is the will of God. This is how to move. This is where to go. Was he done? Do we have men ready for the appointed time? So if God is saying the vision is yet for an appointed time, I want you to now let us study the yet. That small word, yet. You know the word yet. What's the meaning of yet? Those of you that read English. Eh? You know when you use the word yet shows that I am not prepared. What I'm cooking is not yet done. You use the word yet when what you are doing is not ready. That's why you use the word yet. The word yet in English is a very powerful word. So I say, let's go, let's go. I say, not yet. When someone say, not yet, what's the meaning of that? I'm not ready yet, please. Yes, give me more time. Give me more time. Give me more time. That's the meaning of yet. So what I'm dealing with in this, your topic, is the yet. For the vision, is what? Is yet, for an appointed time. What exactly is the reason for that yet? What is the preparation that is not yet finished? Where are the young people that heaven will say, okay, send this man out there. He will do my will. Where are they? Are we sure? Some say, oh, yes, yes, let's just go, let's go. Go to where? You know, I've been with governors. I've been with leaders. I sat with Senate presidents. And they told me, they said, oh, I was there. But I didn't know what to do. And the other side, they came prepared. They came with their agenda. They didn't waste time. They call for different things that you never thought would happen. Islamic banking came. We were all like this. I call a senator. Senator, what are you there for? He said, Ragile. Somebody was moving. Oh, the grazing bill. And there's a route that was started in 1952. Let's trace it so that animals will be going through everywhere. How could you be talking of 1952
in 2020. Are you hearing me? I called some of our men, whom I thought are also Christian, they are serious and they understand. I said, put up this. If you have a problem, I will organize senior advocates that will help me put that bill together. You go and stand there. He said, Abragbile. There's something I need to get. And if I stand with that bill, I will not get it. So what did they get? Nothing. We all came back home empty-handed. Why is the word yet? Why is the devil slapping our face and even slapping God? And God is saying, not yet. What is the reason for that yet? That is the where we are going tonight. And if any of you is sincere, you will start praying. Lord, prepare me. Lord, do something with me. If I'm one of the appointed people for the appointed time. If I'm going to be one of those that you will use as an answer to the problem of the land, then Lord, whatever is yet to be put in place in my life, come and do it. Are you getting me? If suddenly as we are praying, God decided to move. And suddenly, things turned. And they said, Equa Church, we know you are a church that preach righteousness. Send us 5 of your men for key federal ministries. Because you have a congregation, there are people from Yobe, there are people from Borno State, there are people from Kwara. There are people from Benue. There are people from everywhere. So constituency will not be your problem. Give me 5 ministers. Pastor, can you stand up and tell me the truth? Do you have them? Bro, do you have them? That when they go, they will not first build mansion in their village. They will not develop pot bellies. They will not do the same thing that others have done. And I would say, well, it's their turn to eat. When our turn comes, we will take over again. Is that it? So my question tonight is, what is yet? Because that scripture, when you're reading your Bible and you meet word like that, you don't just rush it. What is yet? You, brother, can you ask God, what is yet to be ready in me? Why are you looking at me and I'm growing old and you can't use me? What is yet? Why is it that you said you will do something with my life and I'm still growing old like this and you are not seeing the need to do it yet? What is yet, Lord? What is yet to finish with me? What is yet to be prepared in my heart? What is yet to be made ready within me? What is yet? What am I still struggling with that God is saying, let us wait. Let us wait. So permit me, because of time, to now do quick things, if I'm allowed to see what to do. You know, we ended in the book of Hebrews yesterday. You remember we read Hebrews chapter 10. That's our last passage. It said, and the just shall live by faith. And what led us there? Is because Habakkuk said, but the just shall live by his faith. You remember that? That passage led us to Romans chapter 1. So I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I have complete confidence in the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation, first to the Jews and to the Greek. For it is in it that the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. So when I started tracing that, that's what brought us to Hebrews. But I'm not going to start with Hebrews. I want to start with some story. If I can help you to see the yet. Can I try with some stories? All right. Now, let's read one small graphic passage. And it's okay, because it will give me a summary. Because no time for me to go all the way. Psalm 105. Can you all, if you are able to bring your Bible to Psalm 105, when you get to Psalm 105, we are going to read verse 16. We'll read 16, 17, 18, up to, I think, 22. Psalm 105. We're reading from verse 16. I'm trusting that heaven will help us quickly so that we can save time. Otherwise, it's a long issue. Now, to read the passage, it says, moreover, he called for a famine in the land. He destroyed all the provision of bread. He sent a man before them, Joseph, who was sold as a slave. They hurt his feet with fetters. He was laid in irons until... Did you understand now? Until when? The appointed time. Until the time that his word came to pass. The word of the Lord tested him. Then the king sent and released him. The ruler of the people let him go free. He made him lord of his house and ruler of all his possessions, to bind his princes at his pleasure and to teach his elders wisdom. Now, if I stop at that point, let me tell the story very quickly so that you can catch the issue. I'm dealing with the preparation, preparing the appointed people for what? The appointed time. That's what I'm looking at tonight. Now, you all remember that Joseph began to have dreams. And if you want to put it in our language, he began to have a vision. God began to give him a vision of something that will happen, a vision of how God is going to use him, a vision of where God is going to carry him. Can you remember the vision? He said in his dream, he saw 12 people gathering sheep. Suddenly, the sheaves of every other person was bowing and making obeisance to him. Do you remember that? He told his brothers. His brothers said, what do you mean? You think you are going to be a ruler over us? You are not serious. Then he dreamt again. Not only that he saw sheaves this time, he saw stars. He saw stars. He saw moon. He saw the sun. And all of them, what were they doing? They were making obeisance and they were bowing. God was giving him a vision of what will happen, a vision of people, nations everywhere coming all over the world to come and do what? And submit and bow to the leadership of a strange man called Joseph. In between the time that the vision was declared and shown to him and the appointed time, there is yet. Is that all right? There is a yet. I don't know. Maybe he went and shared that dream with his father. and his people thinking that it will happen now. Perhaps he thought that it was going to happen even in the field where his people were gathering sheaves like that. So he was looking forward to it. He told his father, he said, in fact, I dreamt again. No, I saw in the moon, I saw the star. The father said, so you mean that even your father, your mother, they will bow down to you? Is that what you are saying? Eh? Joseph, the dreamer, Joseph, Alala, you know, that's how they ridicule him. Now, how will that vision come to pass? What will prepare this man from his father's village, and he will become an international leader that will control the economy of the whole world at a time? What will happen that will take him from where he was to where God is talking about him? Am I communicating? All right, so let's look at the process. Let's look at the procedures of preparation of appointed people for appointed time. Let's look at that. Number one, I want all of you to see very quickly the contradiction that is always inherent when God is preparing a man for where God wants to take him. There's always a contradiction. What is the first contradiction? His father, who loves him so much, made coat of diverse color for him. Said, please, your brothers have gone to the field, and for these past 3 days, we have not heard about them. Can you please go and do what? And check their welfare and come back to me. All of you, if they sent you on such an errand, did you plan to sleep? Eh? What was the arrangement? Just to go and come back. So I don't think Joseph, carried a change of raiment. No extra singlet, no extra dress, no change of undies. He was just going quickly to see his brothers and check how they are doing and to come back. He didn't know that something terrible is going to happen. Something that if me and you sit down to analyze now, you see how terrible this is. As the boy was coming, where he thought his brothers were, they didn't find him there. And I said, I heard your brother. They were saying they are going somewhere. Maybe you should go and check them there. That's how he continued again. Look at him, looking for the welfare of his brothers. Only to, as they saw him, they said, hey! Here comes the dreamer. Today, let's deal with him and see what will become of his dream. I want to ask you a question. Is that correct? Eh? Your brothers, your own brothers, for whom you have been sent to go and look for their welfare, they sat down. They first planned that we will kill him. And there and then, they arranged. And they arrested him and casted him into a dry pit. And they were just waiting for an opportune time when they would finish him and finish him. And that would have been the end of his dream. Am I communicating with you? And then while they were doing that, Reuben said, what is the use of killing these boys? What are we going to eat out of it? Look at these people. These are slave traders. They are coming. They are looking for slaves to buy. Why don't we just sell him and collect money over his head and share it and eat it? It's not only now that this kind of wickedness we are talking about has been happening. It's not only now. So they sat down, they discussed, They negotiated. The people came and said, how much will you take? They counted themselves. They said, well, we know it's worth more than that, but if you cannot afford, at least give us how much? 20 shekels of silver. So that at least we are 10. We can share 2 by 2. That's how they collected the money. And what did they do? They sold their brother. They watched the people carry him away. Was he smiling? Talk to me. Was he smiling? He cried. He cried. Was he calling on God? He called. Oh my God. Is this the end of my dream? Heaven was not there to answer. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. But the yet is not about the vision itself. It's about the man that God will use. This Joseph has to be prepared. This Joseph has to experience something before he can fit to what God wants to do with his life. Hey, how they remove his dress. You don't understand what I'm talking about. You know, it doesn't look clear to you. Imagine that I came for this meeting. I didn't plan to sleep. I didn't plan to do anything, no change of raiment. And they said, if we sell him out, what evidence shall we tell our father that it's an animal, a dangerous lion that killed him? Let's remove his dress. That's how they undressed this brother. He went into the caravan. How? Naked. Naked chested. Naked. They collected the money and they quickly killed one animal and used the blood of the animal to do what? To smear the dress so that it will look as if. So they said, so they carried this. When they went home, they said, Baba, Baba, where is Joseph? Can you imagine people? They are the one who did it. Oh. See, they are talking. Do you think that kind of wickedness is not happening in Nigeria? Do you think it's not happening among us? It is. It's happening. It's happening. I went somewhere to preach, and the word of God came, and one man was convicted. He ran out. As he ran out, he said, ah, Brother Bile, you have caught me. You have caught me. I said, what have I done? I have not caught you. Then he told a story. I killed my wife. I was annoyed. So I told her that I would deal with her. She thought I was joking. So I got a knife. Her blood was spilled everywhere. So what did I do quickly? I quickly washed my hand. And I threw the knife where nobody can find it. Then I went to police. Hey, there's a problem in my household. There's a problem in my household. So police, they came. Did you have any suspect? He said, I went to work. I was just coming back to take lunch, which my wife used to prepare. My lovely wife. Wicked men! They are perfected in telling lies. Investigation went everywhere. He couldn't be caught. The parents, the father and the mother-in-law, they were weeping. They were saying, are you sure? He said, how can I kill my wife? He's the mother of my children. So they left him. They were looking for what is not lost. Only to come to the word of God. The word of God arrested him. That's why I told you yesterday. I have confidence in the gospel. For it is the power of God. Sir, if you want to see revival, preach the word of God. You are greeting people. We have only 1 hour. Then you use 30 minutes to greet people. And say, welcome. How was your journey to US? How was this? You are greeting wicked men. Instead of piercing their hearts with the word of God. If preachers are going to preach the word of God, something will happen. Souls will be arrested. And they will become instruments that God could have used. But we pamper them. We rub them with grease. Then we collect their offering. So they feel nice. They know that they are okay. When the word of God arrested this man, he ran. He said, so what do I do now? What do I do now? What do I do now? I said, what will you do? Go and hand yourself over now to the police. Tell them that what the criminal they are looking for, you are the one. Go and tell your parent-in-law, I am the one. Hey! He was sweating. Can you see a healthy man sweating? What could make a big man sweat? The word of God. The word of God. I have seen what the word of God can do. If we will preach the word of God. If we will preach the gospel. It is the power of God for changing men. I said, if we put you in jail, it's all right. You will come out of jail a different person. And God will have mercy on you. That's the matter. So they say, Baba, where is Joseph? Oh, we saw this dress on the road. We saw blood. We were suspecting, could it be my brother? Judah was shedding tears. Reuben was shedding tears. Hey, Baba, will it be Joseph? Then Baba came and said, that's my son, no. Hey. Their Baba was weeping for 20 continuous years upon a lie that they told. Are there not people that have told lies for the past 20 years? Nobody has found out. People's lives have been scattered and shattered. You told a lie. And you are smiling. When they come before Jacob, they did. I said, hey, Daddy, Lucy, how long will you mourn for Joseph? He's dead. Eh? Joseph died, but we're all here. And we're still your son. Just settle down. And we will bury you. We're going to take care of you, please. Baba, don't kill yourself because of Joseph. Joseph is dead. We missed him. We missed Joseph. Oh, Joseph. They don't have problem constructing songs. Great liars. They will tell a story as if it is true. But I'm not looking at those people. I'm looking at, so why was God allowing that to happen to a man? He was preparing for an appointed time. What does God want to do with his life like that? And he got to Egypt. And because the Bible said God was with him, he was praying, he never lost his faith. He didn't understand. He didn't know why his own brothers were the ones that sold him away. By the time Joseph landed, another man bought him. Mr. Potiphar again bought him. Because he's a slave, anybody can buy a slave. So Potiphar bought him and put him in his house as a houseboy. But whatever Joseph did, there's something about him that shows a divine hand. Send him to wash toilet. Toilet will prosper. Anywhere you put him. So that's how whatever they put in his hand, it was prospering. Until the man just decided to hand over the whole of his businesses to him. And this boy was managing the business. And the business was growing well as a slave. You know, you have no fear because you know he has been bought. There's no hope of going anywhere. If he die, he will die here. So he was using him, and the boy was doing well. And as he was doing well, you know he was an handsome boy originally. His face began to show again. The handsome young man began to come up. Then Madam Potiphar. You know Madam Potiphar? Eh? For you not to forget her, she's Mrs. Jennifer Potiphar. She's Jenny. For short, Jenny Potiphar. Every time Jenny was looking at Joseph, every time something inordinate desire in her heart, said, I want this boy for me. This is the kind of young man I like. All this Potiphar going up and down, somebody is feeling cold in the house. Look at the handsome boy here. Every time. If Joseph is doing something, Joe. And because it's Joseph Jacobs, they said Joe Jack. You see? That's how Jenny was calling him. Joe Jack, JJ. And this young man said, what kind of problem is this? I have a dream for my life. I don't know I've landed here. Is this where I'm going to end it? Every day, this woman was just troubling him. JJ, come here. And my back is scratching me. Help me scratch it. Hey, mama. He said, no, don't call me like that. I'm not mama. I'm not my. Call me Jenny. And you know what I'm looking for? I want 3 J's. J. Jenny, of Joseph, of Jack. You can imagine, you know this woman, you don't understand. You don't understand the trouble young men have faced. So many brothers that God wants to prepare for glory. But they have to be tested. God needed to test you to see whether you are victorious over girls. Because when you get to the place of appointment, women will run after you. They will offer themselves. Suddenly, our brothers that used to be faithful church members, once they get a little appointment, another girl is somewhere. He's no more coming home. Madam, we cook food. The food will be cold. You will put it in the microwave. He will not come to eat. By the time he's coming, he said, well, you know, I had a meeting and I can't eat now. In fact, there's a journey somewhere. So Jenny was everywhere. Look at Joseph. He said, whatever happens, I will not deny my God. And I will not disappoint my master. How can I do this wickedness? You are his wife. How can I be playing with my Oga's wife? Where will I face? Jenny said, forget about that. Is it not me that asked you to come? Forget about that. I know how to handle the old fool. Yes, I will handle him. You just come. The boy said, no. One day, Madame organized everybody away from the house. All other house servants were saying, you go to Suleja. He sent another one to Kefi. He dispatched the other one to the other side. And the girls that are in the house, so that they will not smell a rat, he sent them somewhere and said, go and grind something somewhere. Yeah? JJ! This boy, he thought it was a very important thing to do. By the time he came inside, the madam said, I've made eyes to you, you are not seeing. I use language for you, you are not seeing. I use all kind of arrangement, you are not seeing. Today, you are not going anywhere. Lie with me. It was a struggle. And Joseph must have said, I could sleep with this woman and I will become a household pet. I hope so. I can sleep with this woman and whatever I want to eat in the house, I will be a competitor with her husband. I can be enjoying this woman. But the man said, was that the reason I was born? Is that where I'm going to end my vision? All that God said about me, so I'm going to end it on the lap of an old woman like this? The struggle started. And the boy said, you know what? You can take my clothes. You cannot take my destiny. I came here naked. I can still go out naked. But you must not separate me from my God. That's how the boy lost the body, as if he was cooperating with the madam. And as the woman was saying, come now, come now, come now, he just escaped from his clothes. So the woman had a cloth. And the brother is out naked. Now, look at evidence. Look at evil evidence. How can Joseph escape now? When the woman said, my God, I have been humiliated. My husband went and brought one useless man, and he has been harassing me. And because I'm saying no, he left his clothes. You can't see him, he's naked there. Yeah? This is his clothes here. Yeah? He was trying to mess me up. All the neighbors gathered. Egyptians. Jungle justice. They didn't ask. They didn't do anything. As soon as Potiphar came, evidence. Do you know whose cloth is this? He said, is that not Joseph's dress? What is Joseph's dress doing in our bedroom? He said, that's it. That is it. You say you like Joseph. You put all our business in his hand. That's what he's doing. This is the business he's doing. This is the business. When I tried, I cried. Then he ran. Go and see him at the gate. You see him naked. This is the cloth. Without asking, no lawyer. As some of us, have we not suffered injustice? Nobody to speak for you? Your job was terminated without anything, simply because you refused to compromise. That's how they carried this brother into the prison. You know, I used to think that he was in the prison freely, and he was walking up and down.
when they said the prison warder handed over things to him. I thought he was a free man in the prison. But when the Bible described, the Bible said, they did what? They hurt his feet. With what? With fetters. Which means, actually, inside the prison, look at the shackles. If you move like this. For 13 years. That man was in the prison for 13 solid years. No appeal. Nowhere to call. I want you to remember that nobody knows where he was. His father could not look for him because he had been told he died. Am I communicating? Even his brothers did not know anything about his whereabouts. They have eaten his money and they have forgotten. In fact, all of them were surprised. When somebody said they saw Joseph, say with Joseph, he died long ago. Only for Joseph, 13 years. Now, read the Bible very well. Are you with me in the Bible? Now, the Bible said, and that's what touched my mind. How does God prepare his appointed people for the appointed time? The Bible said, moreover, when the time came now for God to begin to do something, he called for a famine upon the land. He broke the whole staff of bread. For God to get his man for the appointed time, God had to call famine that affected everywhere all over the world. Except in Egypt. Are you understanding? And the Bible said, God, all of you read. I just want you to be reading the Bible very quickly. The Bible said, he sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant. Look at the way the Bible said, he, God, did what? Sent a man. Where was God in the story I have told? So God was there when they were selling him as a slave. So God was there when Potiphar bought him. So God was there when Potiphar's wife, Jenny Potiphar, was playing those pranks. So God was there when they took him without any opportunity to say a word and cast him into prison. And for the next 13 years, he was forgotten there. So God was there. So could God be in the situation in Nigeria? So could God have a hand in this serious difficulties that we're all going through? I'm asking a question. This challenge that has come upon all of us, he said he sent a man after them who was sold as a slave. I thought that if God is sending a man, he sends him as a missionary. Abi? I thought when they say, and God sent a man, then he came as a man of God with hands laid on him. They said, God sent him forth. But no, God's method of sending this man is for him to become a slave. Are there some of you, because of what God wants to prepare your life for, you are going through contradictions. And you are saying, how can it be God? How can he be God? How can he be God? And how can he be God? How can he be God? You wasted God's method. You did not allow what God wants to do
to get you ready for the appointed time to be done. You were grumbling everywhere. In fact, you yourself became rebellious. I was just thinking about Joseph. Only God could have understood Joseph. Because, hey, I'm telling you, if your brother sold you as a slave, and you have no address, no way to connect anybody, what should have happened? You should become hopeless, Abby, and live anyhow. And say, after all, anything I do, sir, nobody is looking for me here. There are some of our brothers. God has a plan for your life. But because that yet period of your preparation, you didn't understand it, you became reckless. There are some young men here now. You have become addicted to drugs. Brilliant boy that you are. But because somebody annoyed you. Sometimes it's even your dad. Your dad didn't do something that you thought he should have done. And in your heart, you are saying, what is the need of being a good boy? I try to be a good boy to my dad, but he doesn't see. Whenever I go back home, the only thing I didn't do where he's always talking about, hey, okay, let me also join gang. That's how you started smoking. That's how you started drinking dangerous things. Now you are useless to yourself. But it was a reaction. I met young people that have entered into drug. When I say, how did you enter this? He said, Uncle, I've entered, but I regret. But I was reacting. A young man was brought to me all the way. They just brought him and said, we are tired. Is there something you can do for this young man? And he told me a story, graphic story. As I sat with him, I said, tell me, how did you enter into this? What's your problem? I can see that you're a brilliant boy. Why are you like this? He said, in our house, my father, I don't know what I did to him. Whatever he did, he never praised me. He never appreciated me. But my brother, my senior brother, whom I know him, he squanders money. He will collect school fees 2 times and claim that something is lost. I know him. And I know what he normally do in our bedroom. We sleep together. He's always smoking. But he has perfume that he will just do like this. And when he comes out, my father will carry him and they'll be going up and I say, this is my son. He's very brilliant. And me, I'm working hard. I'm trying to be a good boy. They don't respect me. So I decided also, if I had to be a drug addict so that they can respect me, I would do. That's how that boy began to become an addict. It's so painful. I've been praying that God will help him. We tried every effort. I sent for his parents and said, come and see me. We talked. Now, can you see a man, a director in government, 2 sons, drug addicts? And you know drug addicts, they cannot have enough money. If they see 100,000, they pick it in 2 hours, finished. They can't have enough money. They will sell anything you have in the house to sustain that terrible life. They were reacting. Joseph could have been like that. Joseph had enough reason to become a useless boy. Am I right? But Joseph, something said, no, there is an end to this matter. Just wait and look at the Bible. The Bible said, whose feet they hurt with fetters, He was laid in iron. It's not easy to describe it. You know, when you are reading, you just read Bible. You just read and go away. You don't see the matter. You don't see the picture. So it doesn't grip you to know that there's a matter here. So the Bible said, whose feet they hurt with fetters, and he was laid in iron. Until, did you see the word until? Eh? And the word until is the other way to describe yet. Are you understanding? But you use the word until when you are doing something positive. The word yet translates to become until when you are doing something in the direction of the appointed time. I don't know how you understand that now. But if you are doing nothing and there's nothing you are doing in the middle of that yet, then that yet becomes a continuous, endless yet. Whenever it's time for you to be used, they say, it's not yet ready. When they mention your name, say, that boy, it's not, we can't use him yet. There are still issues we are trying to sort out with his life. That woman cannot be used now. But thank God, the word yet for Brother Joseph was changed to until. And you know, once you use the word until, that shows there's already an end in view. Abi, that means there's going to be a manifestation very soon. Until, look at the Bible, he was hot in iron. Until the time that his word came. You know your word is coming. The appointed time that God spoke concerning your life will come. He said, though he tarry, wait for it. It will not tarry. It will surely come. Meanwhile, the just shall do what? Shall live by his faith. Hallelujah. So the Bible said, the word of the Lord tried him. Other versions say, the word of the Lord tested him. So which means it's the word of God that God was using to do what? To try this brother, to prepare him, to take away anything from his life that will not let him fit at the appointed time. And if it takes all the years, let it be a progressive time. I want to end by saying to you, let this period be a time of preparation. A time when we are preparing our lives, when we are preparing ourselves for the next appointment. Look, there's an appointed time coming. There's a vision coming. You know, people have done something in Nigeria that is looking so terrible, but I'm telling you, I have great faith in my heart that they have done something. When God will stand up to do his own, nobody will have mouth to talk. Are you hearing me? When it will be time, and God will stand up and will do what he wants to do. Whether it's Muslim, we have had Muslim, we can have Christian. Some of you are so open and say, can it happen in Nigeria? It will happen. And a precedent has been left. Abi, an age-old long principle had been violated. Which means they are making a way for what God can also do. But when God will do it, it will not follow the human wisdom. It will be something that will happen, and we say, we have never seen it like this before. They will see what they have never seen before. But the preparation of such appointed men for the appointed time, what must we do about it? And I don't want you to be thinking, yeah, they are talking about some people there. We are talking about you. We're talking about you, that God is looking at you and say, can I prepare you for an assignment? Can I lay hand on you for something? Who knows Joseph? Whoever knew that Joseph is anywhere? Oh, if I tell you the story of Joseph, it was so pathetic. Even though he is a man of God, a man of prayer, nobody hears him. He was in the prison, he interpreted dreams for these men that came from the palace. His dream came to pass. Nobody paid him anything. He was forgotten. But let me tell you, men may forget you, Baba never forgets. God never forgets where he has kept his anointing. And when the time comes for God to walk, even if you are in a dungeon, they will look for you. Even if you are in a terrible obscurity, they will find you out when the time comes. But what must we be doing until that time? To be prepared. To check our lives. To see whether we are walking with God. To see whether at any time God said, now I have a man there. I have a woman there. I have been preparing her. I've been preparing this one. I have tested them. I tested him with money. He did not fail. I tested him with women. He did not fail. I tested him with fame. He remained humble. I tested him with position. He came back on scars. I have tested him. I've checked him up. He's a man I can depend upon. Will God find such here? Sir, I'm asking you a question. Will this church produce such men? With this church, this congregation, can it be a recruitment ground where God is preparing people that will be critical tomorrow? People that when God is ready to move, he say, I have a place. It's like a cave of Adullam where I am preparing my servants. Please go there. And I've gathered them from different parts of the country so that nobody will say they did not meet quota system. Are you hearing what I'm talking about? So when the time will come, suddenly this one is sitting on this one is sitting there, this one is sitting there. They say, oh, you are from Adamawa State, yes, yes. Oh, are you from Yobe? Oh, you are from Bayelsa? Oh, you are from this? Oh, yes, yes, yes. But they are from one fellowship. They're from where? From one fellowship. I'm not asking you to change your name. Don't change your name. Are you Shuabu? Keep bearing Shuabu. Because your change of name is not the change of life. Are you understanding? Are you Kasali? Eh? Kasali, Kasalia too. Leave it there. There's no problem. We have no problem with your name. It's okay. But I'm asking, will God find men here? Are you preparing to become an answer to the challenge of our land when it will be time? Or God will still be saying, I look for a man among them and I found none. Is that what will happen again? Is that what will happen again? As I stop on this, because I can see that my space is actually going, and I need to conclude this. The word of the Lord tried him. And the king sent and loosed him, even the ruler of the people, and let him go free. Hallelujah. Now, you don't know the story. When the appointed time came, and God knew that Joseph was now ready to become the prime minister of Egypt. Listen to me. How could you become a prime minister when you are a slave?
Talk to me. Does he happen anywhere? He's not an Egyptian. There's no constituency that he represented. Am I communicating? He did not have time to campaign. He was in prison. But when the appointed time came, God, who does what no man can do, he went and made the king to dream a dream. This man dreamt a dream. He tried to know the meaning of his dream. Nobody could tell him. He gathered all his astrologers or magicians, all his senators. Everybody was just talking nonsense. Then, one of those two men that met him in prison, whom he interpreted their dream, he said, "Hey, O king, there's a mistake I made." He said, "What mistake?" He said, "I met a man. There's a man in prison. When you cast us in prison 2 years ago, me and the other colleague of mine, we dreamt. One night, the two of us dreamt. And there was this prisoner that we told, and he gave us interpretation. And the interpretation he gave happened exactly that my other colleague, you hanged him, caught his egg. That's what the dream said. But for me, the dream said, you will release me. And I don't know, you release me. That's why I'm still here today. But I forgot. I promised to remember him, but I forgot him. If he had remembered him 2 years earlier, that's 2 years ahead of the appointed time. Let me tell you, may people not remember you when it is not God's time. The reason is that what they will remember you for will be a useless thing. Can I tell you what they will have remembered him for? If that man had remembered Joseph, he would have walked to Mr. Potiphar. Say, "Sir, you used to have a boy, a slave, called Jacob. Do you remember?" "Say, don't mind that boy. He was trying to mess up with my wife. I decided to put him in prison, let him rot in there." "Ah, no, sir. That man is a great asset. His dreams, his interpretation, oh my God, there's nobody like it. You know when I had my problem and I was cast into prison?" He said, "Yes, I know. It was his dream, oh, that brought me out." "Ah, Potiphar said, but except that he was tampering with my wife. When he was handling my business was everywhere succeeding. But as soon as I took him away, everything collapsed. Even Potiphar is threatening to divorce me. Because I don't know what the boy gave Potiphar. Jennifer. Every time she's sleeping, he said, 'Joja, Joja, Joja.' I kept saying, 'What do you mean by this? You want to go to meet him in the prison?' So I don't even know what this boy gave my wife. My wife is restless. No. So if the man had remembered him, what will he negotiate for? To negotiate for Potiphar to bring him back to his house and let him continue his service. Some people remembered you just before it was your time to be promoted. And they went and put you in a corner. The job they gave you has stranded you. You are going nowhere now. You can't be promoted. Because somebody remembered you. A wrong man remembered you. A helpless man remembered you. We are hungry, quite okay. Are you hearing me? But I don't want a mere man to remember me. My help will come from God. Excuse me. Are you trying to go to one allergy to remember you?
And when he say, well, you see, madam, it's not as difficult. It's just that you are proving difficult. He say, what do you mean, sir? He said, I could help you. Look at the file here. I can just sign it. But how can I sign it for nothing? You need to come and see me so that we can sign it together. Hey! That's how you started seeing him. And since to them, even if they take you from your husband's house and make you number four wife, no problem. They don't care. You will lose your children, and you are coming here to become a second-rate person because they will give you one small job. What do you mean by that? Thank God that they didn't remember Joseph. I kept praying, Lord, no, let nobody give me a lift when the time of my trekking has not finished. The reason is because there are certain people, certain things God wants me to meet trekking. Certain lessons I must learn trekking. And if a Roman gave you a lift, he will lift you into irrelevance. By the time the appointment time came, they said, where is the sister? Where is the sister? I said, we don't know. Somebody gave her a lift away. Ah! Say, this is what I could have become. I wonder, oh my God. Ah, my God, my God. You caused it. You caused it. That day, when the king sent for him, I just want you to see the picture. A prisoner that was not planning to be released. A prisoner that has not trimmed his hair and his beard for months. A prisoner that had no other cloth. He was cast into prison empty. Are you understanding? You know, sometimes when a prisoner is to be released, they'll say, let his people bring clothes for him to wear. Am I right? But now there's no people. They were going to release him with the prison clothes. Ah, they said, but it is the king that wanted him. He cannot appear before the king like that. Let's quickly do something. So they are the one who went and got a robe, a befitting dress. He was just standing there. They were dressing him up. They called a barber quickly who came and shaved everything to make him handsome again. And they said, the king is looking for you. He said, king? So they quickly removed the chain. They removed everything. He bathed. They gave him a special perfume so that the odor of the prison will not follow him to the palace. I'm telling you. When it is your time, the appointed time, men will dress you up. When God has prepared you and you are fit for the appointed time, oh my God, everything will happen in the twinkling of an eye. Can you imagine as they took him to the palace? And the king said, are you Mr. Joseph Jacob? He said, yes, sir. I was told that you interpreted dream for this, my cupbearer, and he's here. He told me so much about you. I had a dream that has been troubling me for several weeks. I have called everybody that I know, all my trained astrologers, dream experts. They couldn't tell me anything. So Joseph today said, well, it is not in man and it's not in me to tell you your dream. But God, the God of heaven, is the one that reveals secrets. He's the revealer of secrets. So king, can you tell me what you say you had so that I can ask God? And there and then, he brought out the meaning. Not only that he interpreted the dream, he told the king, this is what to do. A year of plenty is coming, and a year of famine is coming after. 7 years of plenty, and he gave him all of that. And the king said, ah! Where can we find a man like this in whom the spirit of the gods reside? There's nobody as discreet in all my kingdom like him. Can you imagine? There and then. Immediate. Have you ever got an appointment and they write and say, with immediate effect? Have you got any appointment like that before? That whatever you are doing anywhere, they say, this takes immediate effect. Say, but I've not resigned from where I'm coming from. They forget about that. We have canceled that. The prison doors, they have not yet signed his paper when he had been announced. Oh! When the appointed time comes, but my cry, will God find men who are prepared, whom heaven can bring up. If there's any revival that I'm crying for, it's the revival that will prepare correct men for God. Revival that will change our own lives from hypocrisy, from dubious action, from, you know, in-between life. I'm looking for people here who are ready to die for righteousness, who are saying, I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back. You may not promote me for 10 years, no problem. When it is time, God will find me out here. Oh! And they brought Joseph out. And the king announced in front of everybody, he said, oh, ye senators, and all ye potentates of Egypt, is there anyone among you that compare with this man? Everybody kept quiet. Does any of you know any economic plan like this man has laid out before us? Everybody kept quiet. How many of you have seen the future that this young man have just seen and explained to me in my dream? Everybody kept quiet. Say, therefore, I, the Pharaoh of Egypt, and he brought his staff, I hereby, from this day, appoint Mr. Joseph Jacob, to be the second in command. Only on the throne will I be greater than him. After me, it is him. And everything about Egypt, about the economy, about anything, is in charge. And all you senators, go and learn wisdom from him. All of you. All of you right now. Yes. He will teach you lessons now. Please go and meet him. And don't bring any requisition to me without getting signature from Mr. Joseph Jack. And from today, the second presidential jet has been donated to him for his office. Then he said, Mr. Potiphar, the chief protocol of the government of Egypt, you are going to do a quick service. Please arrange right now all your protocols and establish on parade, and you will take this around the city on the open vehicle, and you will be in front of him shouting and declaring, here come Joseph Jacob, the new prime minister of Egypt, in charge of economy and finances. All senators are subject to him, and all people of all constituency, please take note, this appointment takes immediate effect. And please go to the national stadium and let him take salute. Can you imagine? Your master, who bought you before, is now the one running errand in front of Joseph. Can you ever imagine where Jennifer was? I know you can't imagine. Jennifer was watching television. The national TV. Because it was an emergency news. They said, breaking news. Joseph Jacob, the new prime minister of Egypt, in charge of all economic budgeting and finances. Then he saw her husband doing like this in front of Joseph. Then he said, Joe Jack! So that's what you are planning to become. Oh my God, my God. And I misbehaved. I misbehaved. I told a lie. I told a lie. If this Joseph will see me now, they will just send me to prison immediately. Hey. So he was doing like this. When her husband returned from that emergency assignment, I said, welcome home. So you are running around for your slave. He said, you better keep your mouth shut. Things have changed now. It's different now. Something has happened. That young man is in charge of everybody now. In fact, he has brought out everything we shall be doing from now. In the next 7 years, he's in charge. Is it possible for the appointed time to come? Have you seen people that they have written their death warrant and in the very night when they will have signed it, the man who is going to sign, heaven says it's enough. And his pen was still on the table to sign when he was gone. Have you seen that before? Yeah. What can God not do when it is time? But what is the time now? Time for your own life. Time for us to get ready. Time for God to prepare us. So let's now read our final verse. This final verse, I want you to follow me to read it again. We're now going to read the Hebrews chapter 10 that we left reading yesterday. That will be my final verse. I will be calling you to join me in prayer. I will be calling people that are serious-minded. People that are thinking of a future. People that are hearing that God said, I can use you. I can use you to change your community. I can use you to bring a change to this land. And I can use you to turn the economy around. There are young people here, you are having great dreams. But you are saying, oh, these are our leaders, and this Nigeria, and all of that. It is not them. It is because you are not yet ready for what God wants to do. And maybe some of you are saying, no. I don't want to become a Methuselah. Is it when I become old that they will say I'm ready? No. Joseph was only 30 years when his appointed time came. Am I right? So which means God is still looking for young men that will put in the hem of affairs, because he has tested them, he has tried them, he has proved them, he has established his counsel in their lives, he has proved their righteousness. Let's turn Hebrews chapter 10. That will be the last passage I'm reading, and I'm trusting that God will help us to finish it, and then you will pray with me. In Hebrews 10, I want the people that are helping us with the screen to go for Amplified Bible, Amplified Classic. If you have it somewhere, I would like you to flash it up so that all of us, we can read it. I would have said if you have your Bibles, but if they can flash it, okay, you have got it. Amplified version. The one they call classic. Can you start from verse 32, please? You have gone to verse 32. That's where I want you to start. But be ever mindful of the days gone by, in which after you were first spiritually enlightened, you endured a great and painful struggle. I know that some of you were, when you first repented, some of us that are early converts, you know that we suffer for our faith. You know there was persecution when we repented. That persecution was so much that some of us were beaten. Some of us were driven out of our homes. Sometimes our parents, they were so confused. They felt that, what kind of born again are you talking about now? And we born you here. And this is how we used to do it. There was a time that you, all these things that these boys are doing now, does Ekwa do this kind of thing? When we first repented, Baba Ola today, did Ekwa approve all this giri that they are doing? Tell me now, you are old enough. You remember that when you are going about mobilizing students, you were doing an interface because the church was almost losing all the youth. Because young people cannot clap hands, they cannot dance. The only song we sing is, holy, holy, holy. And if you pray and you shake your head, somebody is going to say, get out here, get out here. You want to spoil our church. That was how we suffer persecution. I'm happy with some of you here. You are dancing, you are clapping hands, you are shaking your head. I just thank God for you. You may not know that that was not where Ekwa was when some of us were born again. Some of us, we face serious things. I know several young people that repented. They were excommunicated. Even when I started preaching the gospel, many of my students that repented, by the time they went back, they were sent out. So are you following that, Billy Akane? Get out of here. It was a constant discussion. It was a problem. And all churches like that, there was persecution. We suffered. Now, that Bible say, yes, be ever mindful of the days gone by in which, after you were first spiritually enlightened, you endured a great and painful struggle. Sometimes, be yourselves a gazing stock, publicly exposed to insults, abuse, and distress. And sometimes, claiming fellowship and making common cause with others who were so treated. We suffered. We were pushed around. But we stood. The Christians of those days are mad. We suffer persecution at home. We suffer persecution in church. And we suffer persecution in the office. If there is a girl who is born again, Scripture Union, SU, they call us there. If she's in an office, the director cannot bring a strange woman home. As that strange woman is coming to the office, this small girl, who is a child of God, is already with a trap. Okay, madam, please read this. Did you say you want to see my Oga? For what? Madam, is that how to live? Think about your children. Why are you messing up around here? Repent. So that you won't perish. Do you know what will happen? That woman will be gripped. She will disappear. When the Oga said, what of the woman? He said, well, she has left. I spoke to her. And she told me that she had no reason to see you. So, then when they will meet that lady, say, what was that? There's a terrorist in your office. That girl you call your secretary, I fear her, I fear her. As if you told her what I was planning. She just sat me down, started preaching. I ran. I won't come to your office again. If you want us to meet somewhere else, not in your office. We did that kind of thing. We were not many, but righteousness was prevailing. It doesn't matter whether your guy is a Muslim or anybody. They feared the man of righteousness who is sitting at the gate. Such was a man like Mordecai. They were only gatekeepers, but God was using them. But you see now, we now have a Christianity. We now have people who say they are believers. They are speaking in tongues, but they are telling lies. They themselves, they are the accomplice with sinners. Are you getting what I'm saying? So nobody feared us. Nobody respects what we are doing. But now this scripture says, for you did sympathize and suffer along with those who are imprisoned, and you bought cheerfully the plundering of your belongings and the confiscation of your property. You can't understand what I'm talking about. It is not only now that wicked men confiscate our properties. Are you hearing me? There are times that somebody will just come and put his leg, say, whether you like it or not, I'm taking this plot. But because our heart is on fire for God, we looked at a man, said, you can take the plot, but there's a bigger plot in heaven. I have another world in view, in view. I have another world in view. My Savior is gone to prepare me a place. I have another. We sang such a song. The wicked man is embarrassed. He said, I took his plot, and he's singing. What manner of man is this? So sometimes the day you want to enter that plot, he will just see your face singing, singing, singing. Then he will be running up and down. Hey, I can't rest, oh, I can't rest, oh. Hey, 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 ha, hey, I took a man's plot, and he didn't take me to court, but it looks as if God is fighting me for him. So such person, they came back on their knees. We have seen that. But unfortunately, the church have lost that. The church have lost the kind of character that can subdue darkness. If God say yet, this yet is for God to restore that. It's for God to bring us back to where we ought to be. And brothers and sisters, he said, because you knew you had a better and lasting possession, do not therefore, verse 35, fling away. The old King James said, do not cast away your fearless confidence, for it carries a great and glorious compensation of reward. And all my old men here, Baba Obadiah, Tebu, and all of them, if they have time to tell you stories, if they stood up to tell you stories of the travail of standing for righteousness throughout until they came to where they came. They may not have money, but you can't rubbish their name. Wherever they stood, everybody knew that there's one man there. Because they stood for righteousness. Such men have become scarce now. We don't have them anymore. We have brothers who are not brothers. They are talking big, but they are compromisers. They know what they have done. And it's difficult for the church to have a testimony. It's very difficult. It's just because this is a very public meeting. And it's not good for me to tell you all the issues that are going on, that men, unbelievers, they are using to ridicule us. Sometimes our can, you know can. They know us. They know our can. They just call some of our brothers. Give them some money. And then those one will not declare it. And then when they say, this government, let's go and meet God. Say, no, let's not go. Why are we not going? The man has gone behind before. His mouth has been stuffed. He's chewing something. So his message is no more clear. Yes, Your Excellency, we thank you that you are the father of everybody. Even though our people are dying, we know you love us. What kind of a leader is that? But it's not time. I'm not bothered about that. God is preparing a people. A people that will stand for the word of God. A people that will stand for the truth. A people that will represent the Christ that we preach as his ambassador. Now, but the Bible said, for you have need of steadfast patience and endurance, so that you may perform and fully accomplish the will of God, and thus receive and carry away and enjoy to the full what God has promised. For still a little while, a very little while, the coming one will come, and it will not delay. It will not delay. But the just shall live by faith. My righteous servant shall live by his conviction, respecting man's relationship to God and divine things. And the holy fervor born of faith and conjoined with it. And if any man draws back and shrinks in fear, my soul has no delight or pleasure in him. But our way is not that of those who draw back to eternal mystery and utterly destroyed, but we are of those who believe, who cleave to and trust in and rely on God through Jesus Christ the Messiah. I want to stop here again this night. When we are going through these trials, this contradiction, this conflict, on one side, yes, we see the word the enemy is doing. But the other side is the yet of our preparation, the yet of our own lives, the yet of our own character formation. I think I should just read one more verse there. In Romans 5, we were trying to read that in the morning. Let me read Romans 5. I'll still read it from the Amplified Version, and you will see what God is saying to us. Now, in verse 1, I could have read from verse 1, but I don't have the time. So let me read from verse 3. Moreover, you are still on Amplified for me. Let us also be full of joy now. Let us exult and triumph in our troubles and rejoice in our sufferings. Are you hearing me? God said we should triumph in our troubles, rejoice in our sufferings. Why? Knowing that pressure and affliction and hardship, what does it do? It produces patient and unswerving endurance. All these things that we are going through, as terrible as they are, God is using it to prepare us for the appointed time. Now look, it said an endurance, which they call fortitude, develops. What does it develop? Maturity of character. Approved faith and tried integrity. What is God preparing me for? He wants to develop maturity of character, approved faith and tried integrity. And character of this sort produces the habit of joyful and confident hope of eternal salvation. Such hope never disappoints or deludes or shames us, for God's love has been poured out in our hearts. So why is God allowing us to pass through all of this? Why is everything difficult presently? It is not because God wants to kill us. No. He wants this pressure, this conflict, this affliction, to produce in us an endurance, an unswerving endurance. We must become men that doesn't break under small pressure. We must be people now, and this endurance will produce maturity of what? Of character. If there's any problem that I see presently in the body of Christ has become charismatic without character. We are now very, very charismatic, but there's no character. We can shout, we can shake our body, everybody say, yeah, hallelujah, hallelujah. No character. But God cannot place a man of dubious character at the appointed time. Brothers, I beg you, join hand with me in this meeting today and say, Lord, prepare me. Whatever you need to take away from my life, take it away. Is there covetousness in your heart? Eh? You always want to buy everything your eyes see. So God decided to make everything difficult so that there is no money to play around. Then suddenly, the clothes that you thought you would not wear again for 5 years, what have you done to it now? You went back, you washed it, you ironed it, and it's beautiful. Why did you throw it away before? Covetousness. You are living so expensively. Expensively. You don't care that people around you have need. Oh my God. In your own house, in those days when everything was abundant, when you cook like this and your rice remain, you just call the girl that's with you, Rekia, carry that thing out. You smell it. Go and throw it away. But now, what is God beginning to teach you now? And whatever remained, what did you do? You kept it. You put it in the freezer. You warm it again. And if at all there's anything, you added some little pepper to make it have a different shape. And you are still living. Are you not living? God must create character. Because the men that God will use to repair Nigeria, they must be men who are frugal. They must be men who have value for things, value for people, value for correct decision. I have seen people who are reckless. They go and import something to Nigeria that is of no use. And why did they do that? It's a contract. Why are you bringing this to us? It's a contract. When I was in the college with Baba Odinia, where we were teaching, I was the head of department. Oh, I saw something. They went one time, they said they are bringing Indians and they want to employ Indians to my department. And I'm going to interview this Indian. I'm asking him simple question, O-level physics, he can't answer. When I finished writing my recommendation, this man is not qualified to even teach in secondary school, talk less of College of Education. I recommend that he should be, if the state government has employed him, let them use him somewhere else, not to destroy our education. I wrote such recommendation. Then my ogre that time called me and said, Mr. Akani, I saw your mini thing. I said, but I can't have such a man. I said, no. Government has already employed him. His salary is already running. Even if we don't accept him here, he will still be collecting salary. So allow him to come. So I now have lecturers that cannot solve one small equation. When we raise hand, he say, heavy second, what is that? What is that? But he's paid. I can't remove him. Why? Some government officials were sent to go and recruit them on contract. They got their own money. Those are the people that destroy our country. If God is bringing a replacement, he has to produce people of character. People that cannot be bought. Not Esau that will sell their birthright because of a spoon of pottage. That is why this yet is still yet. We can end that yet in this meeting. Hallelujah. When you will say, Lord, prepare me. Deal with me. Change my appetite. My dubiousness in character, please correct it. And bring me up in a new direction. If God will find this, then he that shall come, he will come. Actually, he is coming. God has given me great hope. I'm speaking to you freely because God is going to fulfill his word. I'm beginning to see. I'm looking at. Since God says, stop mourning, I started saying, okay, Lord, help us to prepare the young. Help us to prepare men for the future. Help us to confront them with what is important. Help us to show them where life is and what they can do for God. And I'm beginning to touch such lives. There are not too many yet, but they are there. When the appointed time comes, there will arise Josephs. There will arise Davids. They will arise Esthers. You know where they went and got Esther? They will arise. Very soon, oh God, when time comes, you will hear people springing up and you say, but we didn't know their names before. You don't need to know their names. God knows their name. And those of you sitting before me here, if you show interest and say, Lord, so now, the things that made me compromise, I want to repent it, of it. The things that made me to lose character, Lord, I'm sorry. I don't want to prolong my own year of struggling. Please bring me back. The thing that is threatening my marriage, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I want you to help me and bring me back to yourself. And as we pray together, this is an assignment for us as a church. This is a call for this congregation. There will be several other congregations that God is looking at. But I want to say this is one of these congregations where we must labor now to raise men. I know presently the challenge is much. The places look occupied. Everywhere seem to be taken. And it looks as if hard work is not needed again. But God is going to bring a replacement. Amen. Though it tarries, he said, wait for it. It will not tarry. Yesterday he said, it will not even be a day late. When the time comes, you will see it happen. But let that time come, O Lord. But the bigger prayer I pray, when the time of your visitation comes, let there be prepared men. When the day of Pentecost came, there were these 120 that were prepared for the fire on their head. May God do it again. May the Holy Spirit walk among us. Those of you that are elders, and you are saying, well, we have retired. Can you please help us? And begin to train the younger people and said, righteousness pays. Don't cut that corner. I know it looks faster to cut that corner. But if you cut that corner, you will have cut yourself short in what God is about to do. May the Lord help us. Amen. May the Holy Spirit bring increase to his word. Amen. And may your heart be released to cooperate with God. Amen. In this time that God is saying, yet. I'm praying that that yet will be converted to until in our own lives. Amen. That God will be saying, yes, now you have started. And the days of your visitation is about coming. It's clicking. I will soon bring you up. Would you like to join me in prayer? Would you like to pray? The prayer, I will raise a song to join us in that prayer. Lord, prepare me a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, and with thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary.
I'll be a living
sanctuary for you.
Sanctuary
for you, Lord.
For you.
Lord, prepare me, O Lord.
Lord, prepare me.
Sanctuary. Pure and holy.
Pure and holy.
Tried and true.
Tried and true.
We must shout I am.
With thanksgiving.
I'll be a living sanctuary.
I'll be
Yes, Lord. For you, Lord.
For you.
Now, before we do this song three times more, God is speaking to some of us here. Say, you are one of the appointed people. You have had a dream. God is speaking to you of what he wants to use you for. God has shown you that some of you, he will use you to raise young people. God showed you that you are going to have schools that is going to begin to change the testimony in Nigeria. But look at what has happened. You started cutting the corners. You say it will not pay if I don't cut corners. And everyone will say, but that's not the plan we have for your life. As we begin to pray right now, as we begin to cry to God now, all of you that are hearing God say, this difficulty, this time, I'm preparing you for something. I have appointed you to be among the people I will use at the appointed time. But I need to change you. I need to change your life. I need to change some things in your life. As we are taking that song, Lord, prepare me. Whether you are outside or you are inside, and this night you feel like today, oh, let me go and lay my life at his feet. Let me stop complaining. Let me ask him to take over. And I don't want to follow gangs. I want to be reserved. Imagine that God said there's a 7,000 I'm reserving. Will you be among them? When the time will come for God to turn the whole country around, and God will be using for men and women that he has prepared. Oh, will you be found already that time? Please, choir, help me raise that song. And all those that are coming, please find your way to the altar. You are allowed to climb up.
Lord,
you can just come here. You can just say, Lord, prepare me. Lord, change my story. They are coming. Please just come here. And say, Lord, change me.
Pure.
Maybe because of challenges. You were reacting. You reacted. And became a drug addict. You were reacting. And you say, what is the use of holiness? So you decided to be reckless. But this night, God is calling you. God is asking you to come. Thank you, my brothers. Thank you, my friend. Thank you, that lady. Just walk out here. Please keep singing that song. Please keep singing that song. Brother, if you are coming, just climb up here. Just come up. Friend, just come. Just come.
Pure and holy.
This woman is marking a distance. Hallelujah. God bless you, my dear sisters. Thank you, that young brothers. Thank you, my brother. Just come. Let today be a mark.
Let
go. Let go. That something has happened here. God bless you. Don't say there's a space for you. Just climb up.
Oh,
just climb up.
Oh,
the Let Jesus take over. Let his war. Let his war prevail with you. The last two times now. Lord, prepare me. Thank you.
Lord, prepare.
Thank you, my dear sister.
I want to be a sanctuary.
Thank you, my dear brothers. Go to say tonight. Thank you, sir. Just go on your knees.
You
wonder, when will this thing come to pass? There's a space for you, sir. When will it come? Sanctuary for you, Lord. Sanctuary. Sanctuary, Lord, for you, Lord. Now, with all of us lift our hands, let's pray with God tonight. Prepare me. We are talking of an appointed time. And I sense that one of the appointed people, I sense that you are setting me up for something. God, presently the economy is in the hand of the other people. But it's nothing when God will move the economy. Said the resources of the Gentiles shall be brought to you. God is waiting. I know that the biggest man in town now, they are of the other side. And it looks as if they are in charge of everything. That is not true. A time is coming, things will change. But God is saying, to whom will I hand it? If you are standing with us in prayer tonight, and you believe in what the Holy Ghost is saying to your heart, please stretch forth your hand. And choir, you will lead us to sing that song. And this last two times, we shall pray together. Lord, prepare me. Go ahead. Are you outside? The Holy Ghost is telling you that tonight is your day. Something is about to happen. All the compromise, all your failure, God is about to forgive and cleanse. But God is saying, in equal we say, can I have men that I'm sitting upon and preparing for the coming days? Brethren, tonight, I know the situation made some of us to compromise. It made some of you to enter into a strange relationship. It made you to start learning wrong habits. But tonight, God is saying, you are not born to be like that. God is wanting to put his finger on your life now. God wants to cut off every connection that is not from him. God wants to start working on your life. He wants to change your habits. He wants to make you a woman of solid character because of the future. Very soon, God will send for you. Very soon, heaven will need you. So we need, this is urgent. You can't play around with sin anymore. You can't play around with wrong behavior anymore. Oh, Lord, prepare me. Lord, change my heart. Change my life. Renew my fire. Where I have become lukewarm, set me on fire again. Where I started to mismanage, where I started reacting. You started reacting. You're a young man. You see what you are doing to yourself because you think that there is no hope. This night God is saying there is hope. And this kind of hope does not disappoint. This kind of hope will not disgrace us. This kind of hope will not put us to shame. This night, please hand over to Jesus. As you knelt before God tonight, God wants to end the matter and start the process. There's someone that God is saying, that relationship you entered is a dungeon. Come out of it. God wants to cut it off. Give him the chance. Say, Lord, tonight, just cut it. Just tonight, cut it off. Change my situation. Give me a new story. God bless you. Are you still somewhere outside? Or you are watching online and the Spirit of God is talking to you? Don't prolong this yet. Don't let your yet be so endless. Let it come to an end from now. Let God now begin a deep work. I say from tonight, heaven will change your story. God will change your story. The power of God will come upon you. It will break that yoke. It will cut that relationship. It will deliver you from that addiction. In the name of Jesus. Father, look at us and look at your people, those that are kneeling before you, those that find their way to the altar. Don't overlook us. Begin your deep work here tonight. This dream will not die as a dream. This one will not end as ordinary shadow. Whatever Joseph went through, there was one thing he did not lose. He did not lose his relationship with you. He was maltreated. He was mistreated. He was cast into prison without appeal. He was stuck in iron. He suffered. He was blackmailed. But in all of this, he didn't become wayward. He didn't say, I will punish my mother. If my mother does not believe me, I will also show her. And so you have spoiled your own life. But tonight, Lord, we have come. And as many as have come before you, I ask for forgiveness. Amen. I ask that the blood of Jesus will speak on our behalf. Amen. I plead that tonight there will be a miracle. Amen. An enduring character will begin from now. Amen. Those that have become confused because of persecution, because of misunderstanding, and they have said, well, I don't mind. Let me just live my own life anyhow too. And they have found themselves loosing out from where you planted them. Tonight, Lord, restore them. Amen. This night, oh God, restore their lives. Amen. Let this meeting mark the beginning of a great work in their lives. Esther could have been a useless girl. She was an orphan. She lost father and mother. And the uncle she stays with is only a megad. But you did something in her life. Whoever thought that such a girl would become the queen of the greatest kingdom on earth at that time? Tonight, oh God, there are some Vashtis that are sitting there now. And it appears as if they will be there forever. But overnight, Vashti was pushed out. so that there will be a space for your Esther. When the appointed time comes, oh God, all those who thought they are sitting there, they will be dismissed without any ceremony in the name of Jesus Christ. But when it is time to do that, may it not be found that we are not ready. May it not happen that the replacements are not ready. Because you will not replace the unrighteous with the unrighteous. It is not your character to bring up the wicked to replace another wicked. Lord, we are praying, prepare us. Prepare us, O God. Let all this present situation produce solid character in our lives. Righteousness that cannot bend. In the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray for our young sisters, young girls, young ladies. They are under pressure. Pressure to compromise. Pressure to sell out. Tonight, oh God, recover them.
Amen.
Recover them.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
They were meant for the palaces.
Amen.
They were meant for high places. How can they end as second class women? How will they end as second wives? No. No. This night I cry to you. Recover your daughters.
Amen.
Recover your sons.
Amen.
Recover your men.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Our Father, tonight, as a local church, we stand in prayer. A destiny has come upon this church. We are not just here playing games. You are setting up this congregation and some other congregations in order to raise men. It's a recruitment center to prepare people whom God can bring up tomorrow. Some of them have come from states, and it's looking as if will anybody need them? In the appointed time, a ministry will be sent as though to our prison yards. There is a man called Joseph. Go and bring him. The king needs him now, now, now. Lord, when such appointed time will come, and they will send, oh God, to these places, may we not be found empty-handed. May this congregation not be able to produce men of integrity. Let it not happen that our time of need, oh, they say even Ekwa cannot give us anybody. Let it not be so.
Amen.
We are pleading with you that from this meeting, all that we are going to be doing, there will be a revival.
Amen.
A restoration of people, young people who are working hard and preparing for a future.
Amen.
Holy Spirit, do this. We thank you. We know you will do what we have asked you to do. And all these, my friends, that have stood up again today, Lord, please walk with them.
Amen.
Please counsel them in a direction.
Amen.
Even if it's just for us to pray with them and to keep reminding you about them, Lord, please provide for them.
Amen.
They won't be stranded again. God will make a way for you.
Amen.
And the Lord Almighty will lift you up.
Amen.
His destiny for your life will not be confused.
Amen.
The dream that God has shown you will become a reality.
Amen.
Holy Spirit, do this for us. And now, Lord, as your people, the entire congregation standing before you, please bless them.
Amen.
Let your face shine upon them. Let the fire of revival that is kindled, let it continue to burn.
Amen.
Let the spirit of prayer descend upon us.
Amen.
I ask, oh God, that from family to family, because there are people in families that are part of the appointed people. Lord, I'm asking that from family to family, preserve your people.
Amen.
Preserve our seed.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Lord, in our tribes, there are some persons here. Only two of them have come from their tribe. And you brought them into this church because you are preparing them for something. Lord, I'm asking all of such persons that you are giving a family in this church, they will break forth.
Amen.
They will fulfill destiny.
Amen.
They will become answers to their people.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
As you did in the days of old, you will do it again.
Amen.
May the Lord go with you.
Amen.
May his face shine upon you.
Amen.
May his word continue to find root in our hearts.
Amen.
And may a strong hand be upon this congregation.
Amen.
Our pastors, from our senior pastors to all the assistants and all the associates, let your hand be upon them.
Amen.
Grant them fresh boldness to declare the word of God.
Amen.
Grant them health from above.
Amen.
All the elders and all the various leaders of different groups and different aspects of the congregation, raise air for us.
Amen.
We will no longer record untimely deaths.
Amen.
We are meant for signs and for wonders.
Amen.
The future that you are speaking about, we surely come.
Amen.
And Lord, in no time from now, you will get prepared men.
Amen.
For this appointed time.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And so, Lord, to you who is able to do more than what we could ask or imagine, do I commend your people that in keeping you will keep them.
Amen.
In watching you watch over them.
Amen.
In perfecting you perfect what concerns them.
Amen.
And Lord, in the coming days, you give us reasons to rejoice.
Amen.
To know that this hardship, this suffering, this affliction had only produced men and women ready for the throne.
Amen.
Ready for leadership.
Amen.
Ready to take over.
Amen.
Ready to recover all.
Amen.
Thank you for hearing us. In Jesus Christ's name, we have prayed.
Amen.
Amen.